What's up? What's happening? Welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, streaming live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. We are on YouTube at the Team 980 as well, where you see the graphic with breaking news. If you're listening on the radio, I have breaking news for you. Terry McLaurin has not reported to training camp. Adam Schefter, the first to report it just moments ago. This was, I think, expected. I think the biggest question was whether he was going to hold out or hold in. He has chosen the hold out. That means he is subject to a lot of fines, potentially. So that is definitely something worth monitoring, how quickly he can get back to Ashburn. Now, he might be in the area. He certainly was last week when he did. The Eastern Motors deal. So we know that this can change very quickly if the two sides can come to a deal. But Terry has chosen what I would describe as the most violent route, which is, fine, you're not going to pay me, I'm not going to show up. And I respect it. I don't know that's what I would do at this point if I was a player. I think it's important to note that the CBA says that if you take fines for not showing up to training camp, you cannot have the team excuse them. Obviously, if there would be something that happens before training camp and you were to get an excused absence, that's a different story. But if you're in a contract dispute and you have an unexcused absence from training camp, you cannot later, when you figure out your deal, waive the fines, which used to kind of be how this stuff would go. So when I say this is not the way that I would necessarily go about it, I just mean, like, man, Terry, good for him. He's got the money where he doesn't care about whatever thousands of dollars of fines he's about to rack up. But this is the most uncomfortable, most confrontational way to do this. And, you know, Trey Hendrickson's doing the same thing in Cincinnati. Shamar Stewart's doing the same thing in Cincinnati. And I think, like, first of all, I just, rather than, like, go straight into analysis of who's right and wrong and ultimately rehash a bunch of stuff that we've already talked about over the last days, weeks, and months, like, my first reaction is, this is sad. Like, this guy is everything you want in a player. This is everything you want in a teammate, everything you want in a leader, everything you want in a guy who wears a C on his chest and reps your organization. He is a fan favorite who has earned that through his style of play, who he is as a man, who he is in the community, what he's done in the community, a guy who's been nominated for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Like, this guy is everything you want your kids to have as a role model, as a football player, as a professional athlete. And now the organization, which has turned itself around in just a year under Adam Peters' stewardship, under Dan Quinn's stewardship, they're at odds with him. That stinks for those of us on the outside who want to see them succeed. Yes, there is, of course, impact of the salary cap and the finances and all of this, but like on a human, emotional level, I hate this. It is your two friends or your parents, or pick, insert your analogy here, fighting. And you're just sitting on the side being like, ooh, I like you both. Please just stop fighting. Stop arguing. I would like for you to get along. And that's kind of where I am with this. And again, you know, we don't know what the numbers are. And we will get a sense for the person who I would guess knows the most is John Keim, because he always knows the most. And John is going to join us at 5 o'clock today to talk about that. He also sat down with Mayor Bowser yesterday. So we have football, we have non-football with Keim at 5. But as of right now, like, it just to me comes down to both sides are saying the right thing, that they want to get a deal done. And that way, I do think they will ultimately get a deal done. Hilariously, the other thing we talk about with John is the RFK stuff, and that is also a scenario where I'm like, you know what? They're going to get a deal done. It's just a matter of how quickly. Phil Mendelson on earlier with Grant and Danny saying that, like, he thinks they're very far along in their negotiations with the council and the team, and that the next step is kind of back in the mayor's court. So, you know, that deal going on simultaneously in the background. But as far as the McLaurin news, I really am surprised. I guess that's the other thing for me. Like, initial reaction, this happened in the break between Russell's show and mine. Like, this is very fresh. I'm processing it in real time. It certainly thought of the possibility, but as we sit here and doing it, I'm honestly surprised we're at this point. Just normally when there's two sides that see the game the same way, that get along very well, that have expressed in no uncertain terms that they would like to come to a long-term agreement for the player to stay with the team. And the team is like, we would like the player long-term. The player is like, I want to be here. It's important to me to get this done. Typically, it's not this difficult to get to a middle ground. And this is why I just wonder what the terms are. Like, is this a 2 versus 3 versus 4 year thing? Is the team like, we'll give you a 2 year extension? And Terry's like, I would like a 4 year extension or a 5 like DK Metcalf got. But is it hard to come to a middle ground because it's not 2 versus 3 and it's we're picking one? It's like, no, you're 2 and I'm 4. I'm 2 and you're 5. Is it from a money standpoint, Terry wants like 34 and the team wants 27? And, you know, getting to 31 in the middle is too far to go for each side that neither of them is like, no, like, team might be like, oh, I'll go to 29 or I'll go even to 30 flat. And Terry's like, no, I'm not doing 30 flat. Garrett Wilson's making X. DK Metcalf is making Y. And like, I want those numbers. I'm not going down to that number. So that even the middle ground is too far for each side to go. Is it contract language? Is it guarantees? Like, without knowing what they're actually fighting over, it's hard to say, like, as someone who's a neutral observer, what is correct. To reiterate things that I've said all along here, I don't think the Commanders are in some huge financial crunch that they need to be skimping on this contract. It really must come down to them not wanting to overstep in terms of the market. And you know, that is something that GMs feel a responsibility for and owners feel a responsibility for. You don't want to mess up the market for everyone else. You don't want to set the precedent to where you're like, yeah, but we paid no one else pays 30-year-old receivers like this, but we did. And that messes up the next team. Like that, it's kind of the integrity of the market. I would personally be like, screw the integrity of the market. I'm going to do what's best for me. And if I think a player is worth it, I'm going to do that. And if I don't think a player is worth it, if in the future, 30-year-old player or whatever is like, well, you did it for Terry, I'd be like, Terry was one of one. You think you're Terry McLaurin? You think you went through the stuff that Terry McLaurin went through? You think, he set the touchdown record. Did you break his record? No, then get out of my office. Like, I have no problem having those individual thoughts, but that's not necessarily how the league always works. So I'm very surprised that we're here. It's obviously not shocking in that, like, yeah, there's a contract dispute. But considering the people involved, the integrity, how much they care about their integrity, I'm very surprised that we have a contract holdout for Terry McLaurin. We were going to start the show today with more from Adam Peters. So let's do this. First of all, let's let you hear from Peters earlier today. So coming up next, Peters on McLaurin. He was asked about it, Dan Quinn. We'll play you every question, answer, response that we have on the Terry front coming up in the next segment. Following that, it's a Vibe Check Tuesday. So your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. That is where you can voice your opinion, your concerns, your whatever on the Terry McLaurin situation, which is now officially, after McLaurin did not report today for the conditioning test and just to say here, present at training camp, a holdout. So you can go ahead and start lining up on the phones, 301-230-0980. You'll hear from Adam Peters next. We might also bring back, if there's anything that's relevant, some of the sound from Terry a week ago. But we'll make sure we have this whole thing covered here throughout this entire first hour before we get to hour two and John Keim here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. Taking your calls in about 10 minutes, but you can go ahead and get on the phones now because I'm sure they're going to fill up. We already got a couple in. 301-230-0980. Vibe Check Tuesday. Terry McLaurin is holding out. And we didn't know that this morning. And we know we didn't know that this morning, which way that was going to go, because Adam Peters was asked directly about it. And so this morning, the Commanders general manager stepped to the podium. He, of course, was joined by Dan Quinn. Quinn talked about a bunch of stuff as well. But a lot of the obviously, as you would imagine, a lot of the, Terry questions went towards Adam Peters. And here is what the Commanders general manager had to say when asked about what his expectations were today on report day for Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about that. But just like with really all of our players, we're expecting everybody to be here today.
And then for both of you, he talked a lot last week about his situation, a lot of frustration. He talked about wanting to feel valued. I'm curious what you guys thought about that. And then, Adam, if you can talk about where things do stand with him as far as an extension.
Yeah, I mean, first, I think, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations, and we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
So that was the messaging this morning. Like, we're going to try everything we can. We haven't talked to him about whether he's coming in or not. And then we learned this afternoon, like, he's not coming, because otherwise he'd be here. Terry McLaurin, again, not reporting for camp this afternoon. I find the language that we'll do whatever it takes to get a deal done very silly. I guess you have to say it. I would appreciate, like, we are trying to do a deal that we think is fair to Terry and fair for the team. I think that's more accurate, because, like, we'll do anything to get a deal done. Okay, we'll just give him what he wants. You have a deal. By the same token, like, that is true from the player side as well. I'll do everything possible to get a deal done. Will you take less money? Well, everything except for that. So I understand it's what people say. I'm kind of having a little bit of fun with the semantics here. But it is kind of funny to me to hear that and just be like, oh, we'll do everything in our power to get a deal done, except for give him the amount of money, years, and guarantees that he wants. And so what, again, my question here is, like, is that actually prudent team building by Adam Peters? We don't know, because we don't know the numbers. But we know that there is some value that the team puts on Terry. They obviously think very highly of him as a person. How could you not? But what that actually translates into in dollars and cents is still very much an unknown. Up next, Adam Peters was talked about balancing. And this is what I thought was a great question by David Aldridge. And Anthony, actually, do you know, is the question in here?
No,
if it is,
not.
Okay, it's not. Okay, well then, basically, David, who, by the way, I don't know if you caught wind of this. There was some horrendous, like, overturned dump truck on the bridge this morning going from Maryland to Virginia. So, like, all the Maryland people were, like, running into this press conference as it was starting and, like, as it was going, because the traffic was absolutely bananas, which meant the big group chat that a bunch of people are in was going very, very hilariously off the rails. But anyway, David, huffing and puffing, runs in and is like, so, oh, right, I'm a Hall of Famer. Let me ask a great question. And the question was, how do you balance Terry's history with the future you're trying to build and your present situation? Here was Adam Peters' answer.
Yeah, that's always probably the tricky part of any negotiation is figuring all that out. And, in terms of understanding the market, understanding our team, understanding, our financial situation and all that. I don't think I've been a part of a negotiation where it's been really linear and smooth and everything like that. But I think, understanding where they're at and understanding where we're at and trying to close that gap and come into something is really the kind of all the nuance of it and staying really above board and negotiating in good faith. All those things come together and that's how you come to a deal. So as long as it fits in the construct of what you want to do and how you want to build it and what the player would Terry in this instance is comfortable with. So that's what we're working towards and we're having some good conversations and we'll continue to.
The one big separation, the one big, I don't know what the right word here. Deviation. I feel like I've used that word a lot lately, which is a weird word to use a lot. Anyway, the one big deviation from kind of Terry's side of things and Adam's side of things, and they both might be true because they're a week apart, is Adam says we've had some really good conversations. Terry last week said there have basically been no conversations. So is there a chance that after that press conference last week that talks have picked back up and they are trying to get something done and there's been some kind of agreements on some things, other things are still farther apart, or it's like, hey, but also, like, I don't know. I also find some of this stuff really silly at some point because, and maybe, who knows, maybe eventually I'll get to know more, some, you know, tell-all book or some executive will tell me or some agent will tell me how this goes. It'd be great to have, like, J.I. or Joel Corey to talk about this. But also, like, how hard is it to actually do this? Like, what are you – oh, we're having talks. How hard are the talks? I want $30 million. Well, I want to give you $28 million. I want $30 million. I want $20 million. Like, what are they actually talking about here? At some point, there's got to be some, like, substantive argument. I mean, Anthony, am I missing something here? Like, the talks are Terry's agent writes numbers on a sheet of paper, push them across the table. This is what I want. Adam strikes through those numbers, writes down his own numbers, pushes them back. Like, I know sometimes it's like specific contract language and it gets very lawyery and, you know, there's redlining and stuff, but I don't think we're at that stage. Like, that's what Shamar Stewart's arguing for. I don't understand, like, the depth of the talks here. Like, what – eventually, like, you sit in the room, you agree on the numbers, or you don't. That feels like the bigness of this, the nature of these discussions. We're still at that point, not at, like, some detailed, nuanced language where there's a bunch of different options that only comes into play in specific scenarios. If this, then that gets voided, and that gets guaranteed, and blah, blah, blah. I don't think they agree on numbers in years. And so if that's the case – I don't understand how we're getting closer to a deal. Oh, you would accept 33, but not 34. Well, I still only want to pay you 29. We're not any closer to a deal.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably where Adam Peters and, you know, Terry, are, though. Like, Adam Peters might not be fond of where the wide receiver market is just because it's so high and it's just continually gradually shooting up. And then Terry just, like, he's not really budging, so I don't know. It's a weird situation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm trying to give them a little bit more credit, and I'm just like, I really am, like, flabbergasted about this. So it really, a lot of this, I feel like I sound snarkier than I want to, but it's coming from the fact that I just, like, I truly cannot believe we are here with this player and this team and this front office, because I think genuinely they want to be, like, this is a compliment. They want to be together. You could have the, like, all right, Terry's side is like, we want 34 or we want 33 because we want to be, let's go 33, right? We want to be above Garrett Wilson. Well, no other 30-plus receiver except for Tyreek Hill has ever gotten over 30. A 30-year-old has gotten over $30 million, so we'd like to give you 29. No, like, we're not accepting that. We just said we want 33. Okay, well, all right, we'll give you 30. And Terry's side goes, no. And they're like, we'll come down to 32.5. Okay, well, you're getting closer at that point. What I also wonder is each side bringing new data to the table, right? Is, like, certainly if you're Terry's agent, you're going, Wilson got 32.5. Here's our numbers versus Wilson's numbers. We think we're worth X. And if you are like, we ran a formula here that based off of Terry's games played in college and the pros versus the average 30-year-old receiver, we actually think he should be valued as a 28-year-old receiver, and here are the 28-year-old numbers. The regression line, like, what kind of data is being exchanged here to try to convince the other side to come up or come down? Like, that's the thing I would be genuinely fascinated of, because they are obviously not just taking a sheet of paper and passing it back and forth like a cartoon negotiation. There is a lot that goes in. And having talked to some agents, I remember talking to one agent this summer and getting past some information, and, like, the amount of homework they had of this player at this age did X and they got paid Y, and my guy is X and he gets paid blah, and we think he should get blah plus, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes in here. Again, I think that Terry's side is trying to make an argument that Terry is an unprecedented player. I actually tend to believe that and buy that. But if you're Adam Peters trying to dissect what that actually translates to in dollars and cents, I think is very difficult. Real quick, is there an urgency to get this done before camp? That was the last question that Adam Peters was asked on Terry McLaurin. We'll actually tell you what. We'll play that answer for you and start taking your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday next on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. John Keim, 5 o'clock, ESPN.com. He talked to Mayor Bowser yesterday, and plus he'll have more on the Terry McLaurin holdout. We will also do our first 53-man roster projection, a pre-camp edition, if you will, coming up at 5:30. So we're locked and loaded on a Tuesday here on the show. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday, so your calls in just a second at 301-230-0980. But first, one more from Adam Peters. Peters asked about the urgency to get a contract extension with McLaurin done, with camp bearing down. Obviously, they didn't get it done, and McLaurin didn't report. But how is that impacting his timeline and his desire to get a deal done sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think, those were, I wasn't so much directly involved, but I was a part of it. So I understood how it went and, a lot
that,
of contracts.
Question
but,
up better.
Yeah, it's just kind of.
He was asked about through the context, like what he's talking about there. We'll start the answer over. I just forgot this is how we started the answer. My bad. Host mea culpa. He was asked specifically about the contract holdouts that he had privy to in San Francisco. Guys like Debo a couple years ago, but also Trent Williams, et cetera, and how that compares and sets him up for this negotiation with Terry.
Yeah, I think, those were, I wasn't so much directly involved, but I was a part of it. So I understood how it went and, a lot of contract. But I think that's just kind of the nature of our business. You would like to get these things done quicker than longer, but it's not always going to happen that way. So I think for me, just seeing those things secondhand, really not firsthand, but understanding how that went, just understanding that, first of all, we're dealing with a really, in the case of Terry, a really good player and a really good person. So really understanding that and never losing sight of that and making sure that, every conversation we have is very, straightforward, honest, and in good faith, and just keeping that mindset throughout, because there's going to be twists and turns, but just having that confidence and just understanding that our goal is to get a long-term deal done, and so just keeping focused on that, and whatever happens along the way, just understand that he's a great player and we want to keep him here.
Again, everyone's saying all the right things, but it is those are words. Eventually, you have to put pen to paper. You have to put down an offer that the player likes, feels like they're valued, and that has not happened yet. And obviously, the team has not put Terry's side has not put an offer in front of the team that they like either. It is worth pointing out that as we have many times before, like, Terry's agent is kind of the unspoken party here, and there's definitely some rumblings that he's not always the easiest one to negotiate with. Again, there are worse things you could say about an agent than they're difficult to negotiate with. It's nice when you feel like there's more productivity there, but obviously you got to be able to deal with everybody if you're in Adam Peters' shoes. That's part of being a general manager, and ultimately the point is to get the player on the field, and we'll see if they're able to find common ground. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, thanks for calling. Happy training camp, and you're back on the Hoffman Show.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks for taking my call. I am not worried about it at all. I'm really not. Terry's going to be with Washington. We see this play out every year with different organizations, and very rarely does it turn out where a guy ends up sitting out the season or getting traded. That very rarely happens. So if Terry, sits out deep in the training camp, I think there's some positives to that. I think that Terry's going to be in bubble wrap. He's not going to risk an injury during training camp. We've already seen one with Detroit where they've lost someone, and it gives Jaden an opportunity to connect with maybe some younger receivers and build up, some playing with them. I just think it's going to get done. Terry has no leverage here. Okay? He can't sit out the season. If he sits out the season, he'll never get that $14, $15 million back. And he's a 31-year-old wide receiver next year looking for a $30 million contract, and that's not going to happen. So it's going to happen at some point. I think Adam is handling this the right way. He's not negotiating in public. And I find it somewhat surprising or somewhat concerning. Why hasn't Terry come out and said, well, I'm asking for X amount of dollars? Okay, he's not tipping his hand. So I think that they are pretty much pretty far apart. But Terry has to understand he's not Garrett Wilson. He's not 25 years old. He's 30 years old. And you mentioned Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had his worst season last year as a 30-year-old. That may be something that Adam Peters is looking at. And Terry is what he is. We know what he's going to be. He's not going to be better next year. He's got six, seven seasons of doing exactly what he did last year, absent all of the touchdowns that he had last year, which was fantastic. But his stats are somewhat similar to what he's had in prior years. You don't expect those to go up with a 30-year-old wide receiver, and I think that's what Adam is looking at. So I applaud him for digging his heels in. He may be taking the Jerry Reinsdorf thing that did with Scottie Pippen. Look, you sign this contract. Don't come back to me before then. And I think that's what some of these owners and these general managers are going to do with people like Terry, that at that age, saying, you sign a four-year contract. Don't come back to me looking for an extension. If you want to gamble on yourself, sign up a one-year contract. And you'll always be at the top of the market.
I mean, Gary, I actually appreciate a lot of what you're saying because I think you've well articulated the management side of it in a way that's fair, except for the last point. And I don't want to like get too off because there's multiple things I think are worth discussing here. But let's go to the last point first. If that's the case, then I don't want to see a player ever get cut early ever again. If you're going to talk about honoring contracts, then, you can save X dead money on the, you can take some dead money, but you have X cap savings. If you cut me, no, we signed a 4-year contract. It's 4 years. You don't get to cut me early. Like, you can't have it both ways. And so when players perform up, like, the system that has been established is when star players are entering the last year of a multi-year deal, they typically get an extension. By the way, it is often something that is good for the team because they can often bring the salary cap number down in that first year because they can prorate some of the money into bonus money, convert it, stretch it out over multiple years. And so it often is actually good for the team. And so when players are like, hey, can we do this thing that gets me more money in the long term and helps the team's cap situation in the short term? We can't be like, oh, they're greedy. Like, no, that's how the system works. That's how it's set up to operate. And rarely do star players that are still producing at a high level actually play out their full deals into free agency. That's just not a thing that happens in this league.
But Craig, can I just say this one thing?
Sure.
The salaries are going out of control. They're way
according
out of
to
control.
Who?
I mean, I like the players. I like the players getting money. But as far as what they're getting per year, okay, it's astronomical. And I'm not saying this for every player. I'm talking about players that are in Terry's position where, you know, 4 years ago or whatever, he could have asked for a 3-year contract. He got asked for a 4-year contract. What I'm saying is you're 30 years old and you're going to be in your 30-year-old contract year when your contract ends, okay? I'm saying ownership may take a different position on these contracts because of the astronomical value of these contracts. I mean, you've got a $40 million a year.
Are you talking about the sheer dollar? Hold on, Gary. I'm asking a simple clarifying question. Are you talking about the sheer amount of money the guys make or the percent of the salary cap?
No, I'm talking about the sheer amount of money.
Well, that's
where
that's irrelevant because that is just a percent of that's a revenue split. Like, the salary cap isn't some arbitrary number. Like, that's collectively bargained. And then how each team splits up his salary cap is going to – like, if you're a receiver who makes X percent and the salary cap is jumping by $40 million a year, we're going to get to 30 and $40 million as we have. That's not a reflection of, like, guys are making way relative more money than they used to. The cap has jumped astronomically in the last decade. That's why we're at $30
million. Yeah, no. No, so you're saying a guy that's making $20 million 2 years ago and making $40 million today, he's not making more money just because the cap went up?
He is
no,
making.
That's not what we're saying.
Yeah, it's
what
it's,
I'm saying
like,
is
20 to 40 isn't the right numbers, but like probably 28 to 40 is.
Right. Okay. Granted, but what I'm saying is, if you want to stay at the top of the market, okay, if you always want to try to be at the top of the market, don't take a 5-year deal with these the way the money is changing right now. Okay, you take a 3-year deal. And what I'm saying is owners are probably going to take the position that, listen, you want to sign a 5-year contract, that's fine. And you're right. If it benefits both parties, then we'll do it. But in this situation, it's not benefiting both parties, okay? It's not benefiting the team and Terry to extend him and give him a $15 to $17 million raise. That's not
helpful. But he's not getting a $15 to $17 million raise. He's asking for like a
five. What is he paying?
His cap number this year is 25.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard somewhere where somebody said it was 18. Okay.
No, that might be his guaranteed money, but like the cap number, and you talk about the pro, like it depends on what you're talking about and the structures. Like that gets into a ton of detail, and we won't know the detail till a week after he signs the contract and it processes through the NFL stuff and then all the, you know, the SPO tracks and over the cap gets it. And Gary, I got to let you run because great call as always. I always enjoy sparring with you because I think you bring up great points that should be flushed out. But I got to run because we got more people on the phones. But like, yeah, like the base number versus the cap number. To me, if you're a fan, don't worry about other people's money. Like, it's billionaires and millionaires. They, some of you listening might be in Terry's range, and God bless you. I'm sure that unless Mark Ein's listening or Mitch Rails is listening today, and if you are, hi Mark, hi Mitch, good to see you. Like, you're probably not in Josh Harris's range. Like, the money is set the salary cap is relative to revenue. So it's not like they're just finding more money. Like, this is money that the players and the league has generated for the purpose of paying the players. Like, it's got to go to some players. If you think it should be more evenly distributed versus top heavy, like, that's a different argument. The other thing I would say to one of Gary's points that I think is really important is the level that Terry is producing at is requisite with being a $30 million receiver. And so if we say, oh, all Terry's going to do is do it, he's not going to get better, he's just going to do what he has done, maybe even his touchdown number comes down, if he gets 75 catches, 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns, like, that's a $30 million player. That's where we are in the league. And so that's why I'm so curious. Is it Terry asking for way more than that? Is the team saying way less than that? Are they saying, we think that you're going to decline and be worth, like, I know Neil Greenberg did an analysis for the Washington Post that was like, he's only going to be worth this. And it was way less. But then you also have the, you know, kind of intangible value of Terry McLaurin, the leader of the team, Terry McLaurin, the role model citizen, Terry McLaurin, the guy whose number is, could be retired, certainly going into the Ring of Honor. We'll see if he's a number retired guy based off the next 3 years. But, like, that's who we're talking about. And do you, like, what kind of message do you want to send with who you pay and how much? How much fighting do you want to do when a guy has asked, done everything you've asked? Like, you want players to feel like you could get rewarded. So that's the player side of it. Management is trying to manage the salary cap structure. They are trying to set a precedent of, like, we're not going to be walkovers in negotiation. And somewhere all those factors have to meet in the middle. 301-230-0980. More, Anthony, we can kill trending. More of, because we know what's trending. This, Terry didn't report for training camp. There, that's what's trending. We'll take more of your calls next. Allegedly, we're going to do a 53-man roster projection coming up at 5:30. I think it might be a 57-man roster projection. There's two. Anthony, I need some new rules.
57 is crazy, Craig.
There's too many dudes.
There are.
Adam Peters did a good job. One dude who is going to make the roster, just we're not sure when he's going to show up, is Terry McLaurin. He has officially no-showed for camp. He is a holdout. Adam Schefter reporting that at 4 o'clock today at the start of our show. We're taking your calls on it at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's keep the calls rolling with Mark in Largo. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, my Pisces brother? How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Well, Pisces, aren't you, Craig?
I think so. I don't really do the astrology.
I think
that's correct.
Look, this is bad on Adam, and I'm gonna tell you why it's bad on Adam.
hear me out. That last caller, I'm not going to say he's an idiot. He's misguided on his information. And I'm going to tell you why I say this. 6 months ago, really a year ago, we all knew it was coming to this point. We all talked about the same thing last year. Bird performs, going to get a contract extension. Adam had this plan 6 months ago, right after the title game. Would have been a good idea to shore this up. Then you could have offered him 27, 28, 8 million right then and there. Why? Because Garrett and everybody else's contract didn't come out yet. You could have got ahead of this before everything got crazy. See, a great GM goes out and they say, you know what? We may want to get this stuff done early because
we can't do this because, like, what if Terry's agent said, I want 33 then? Like, by the combine, people...
No one was getting 33. I understand that. No one was getting 33 then.
Okay, well, if they were getting 31, 32, and the team was like, no way.
What about 28?
There's no way Terry... I don't think Terry's signing for less than 30. So,
okay,
like,
if he would have got
we can do the mock negotiation thing. Like, you be Adam Peters. I'll be Terry's agent. You offer me a deal. It's March. It's February 25th. We're at the Combine in Indianapolis.
Your birthday. Okay, we'll do it on your birthday.
That's not my birthday. Okay, it's a couple days. I intentionally didn't pick my birthday because you already brought it up. But offer me a deal. Offer me a deal. I'll be Terry's agent.
3 years for $93 million. $30 million, and a chance with bonuses, he can go to 110.
Okay, what are the guarantees?
3 years guaranteed.
Well, that deal would have been done. Like, you're also now not saying numbers that you just said 2 minutes ago. That's not 28 a year. That's like 31, 32 a year.
That's 30. No, well, okay, fine. But see.
But, like, that's the point. The details matter. The numbers matter. You can't just, like, these aren't hypotheticals.
Okay, fine. But Adam should have got ahead of this, man.
He might have tried, and they said, no, that's how negotiations work. Mark.
Craig, here's the problem, okay? This is why I say this is all on him. If you can't handle Terry, what gives anyone confidence he can handle Jaden in 3 years?
Because, like, every relationship is different. Mark, thanks for the call. I got to let you go. Because, like, again, if you've been following this closely, Terry's agent is notoriously difficult to deal with. Multiple contracts, multiple players. You know, guys and gals have reported on this quite a bit. Like, he might have tried to get ahead of it. Adam probably did try to get ahead of it. And if Terry's agent says no, or maybe there was even a better offer that's on the table now. Maybe they offered 30, and Terry's agent was like, I know Wilson's up. I know Metcalf's going to get a new deal. I'm going to wait. I want to see what those numbers are. And we'll come back to you in the spring once those guys have signed. What if that was the case? Adam is doing a great job, to Gary's point, which I thought was a very good one, although I think Gary did sidestep when he was like, well, Terry's doing the same thing, and I don't like that. I think it's good. You don't negotiate in the media. I would love if they negotiated in the media. I'm in the media. You all would love it because then you would get to consume the media. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say, hey, Adam, really nice job on not negotiating in the media and being a professional, and then complain that we don't know the information. Let's go to Reggie in D.C. Reggie, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. You're going to get the last word in on this. Well, at least the last call in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Craig, and again, if you paid attention, you know, we're adults, so you can kind of listen and kind of hear somebody's tone and mannerism. Terry thought after we finished the season, everybody was on a high, right? This was a foregone conclusion. We'll get it done, and then that was it. When he did that press conference, you knew, just hearing him, how disappointed he sounded. He figured, man, it's going to be done over the summer. Quick phone call, boom, it's done. You cannot pay Terry what DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is in his draft class. That's almost like you. So you right now, you know, you're the young up-and-coming superstar. I'm a vet, but yet you make more than me, but you and I started in the business together. So you and I started, you know, we started, came out at the same, the hot young superstar. So I'm looking at you saying, wait a minute, if Craig is doing this, then I need to be doing as Craig, yet I'm 10 years older. Just using that as an example. No, it doesn't work that way. You can just tell he's going to play out this last year. We are not going to get a contract done. It's highly doubtful that he's going to sit out the year because he'll come back next year in the same position. We either, I hate to say it, but I'm going to call you back when it happens, either trade him or I don't know how long he figures he's going to stay out. Because one thing I was thinking, Craig, okay, how many years is he asking? Because if you do a contract, right, what if he's asking for three additional years tacked on? You got this year, because you got a guarantee this year. You pretty much already got that. And then if you throw on three additional years, how much guarantee are you talking about? At least, what, maybe 80, 90? You can't do that. And then I don't even know if Terry would be like, okay, I'm going to do 2 years. So give me 2 years tacked on to what I'm doing now. That's probably still going to be a guarantee of almost, if you conservative, going to be like in the 80s. I don't think from a financial perspective, we're going to be able to meet what he wants.
This is where I kind of disagree, Reggie. I appreciate the call, and I think it's good. You're putting good food for thought out there. The Commanders financially are fine. Unless there's some cap minefield that I'm unaware of, or they have the intentions of spending oodles of money on particular now look, if they are looking at the Micah Parsons situation in Dallas, and they have it on good authority that Micah ain't signing Jack there, and that Jerry, because he's stubborn, will not franchise Micah, and Micah Parsons is going to be a free agent next summer, that changes the math. That 1,000% changes the math. And if they can't say that, obviously, there'd be threats of tampering. They would, like, it's bad business. It's a bunch of stuff. But if they, in their heart of hearts, know Micah Parsons ain't signing in Dallas, and we're going to have a chance, and we have the best chance because we have cap space and we have Dan Quinn, that's a different equation. Outside of that, what have we learned from free agency the last couple of years? There aren't free agents available because teams re-sign their best players. That's how it goes down. And so the Commanders have the money. It's really about, do they want to give in to what they think is an above market asking price for Terry? The answer is clearly no. I can't blame them for that. That's good business. By the same token, I also, if I'm Terry, look at DK Metcalf. One, that contract is so silly once you get into the details of it. It actually is not that hard to beat on the guaranteed money. And if I was the team, I'd be like, we'll pay you more guaranteed than DK, but we're not doing 5 years. So there's a way to do better the DK deal without it being like the DK deal looks great on paper if you're the agent and nobody clicks on the details. And it's actually a very team friendly deal. Even though the numbers are big on paper. So Terry's better than DK Metcalf. Like, if I'm Terry, that would be my point. It's like, you can tell me DK's 2 years younger. Okay, fine. I'll offset that with the fact that I'm better. And also on the trade front, I would rather say, fine, I'll call your bluff and you're going to hold out. And I don't care if you show up in week 3 when you realize that I'm seriously not giving you a new deal. I would rather do that and have Terry McLaurin for this year and franchise him next year and go through this whole rigmarole again than trade him, because they are in a win now window and Terry McLaurin is an awesome football player. So that should be said too. I'm sure Terry's side is probably terrified of that being the case, but that is a realistic outcome here, is that they do play out the year, and then they franchise him, and they would go through this whole thing again next summer. All right, when we get back, ESPN's John Kine.